Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Folks, it's that time of the week again. It is the MIP. I call it the championship round of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. And wow, what a show that we have for you. We will recap those conference championship games, take a little brief peek at the Super Bowl from a macro level. Next week, we'll micro level it. And then speaking of taking a peek, we got to take a peek at what is Aaron Rodgers' legacy with all that's going on around Aaron Rodgers? Bell and Brown coming to town, and we will talk with a guest, one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game, Tony Gonzalez. And it'll end with my playmakers of the week. So let's jump right into this, because championship week was an interesting week. I thought a great week altogether. A couple things that stuck out that I talked about, and I want to break these games down just a little bit. I want to start with that AFC game, that Bills at Chiefs games. Of course, Bills at Chiefs. Chiefs won that game 38-24, and what a game that was for me. I told you guys last week, I said this thing comes down to, let me see what quarterback gets this job done. Basically, point blank, period. That's what I knew this thing was going to come down to. Who gets it done? Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes? And I told you Josh Allen was going to have to match Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't going to be, well, we're going to run and keep the ball away from him. No. You didn't have a running game. As a matter of fact, the leading rusher for Buffalo was Josh Allen. He had 7 rushes for 88 yards. I knew it had to come down to his arm. And I couched it this way. I said the Bills all pros have to match and beat the Chiefs all pros. Let me break down how that went down when we go all pros to all pros. Now the Bills all pros. Josh Allen 2 for 287 yards, 2 TDs with 1 interception and 80 passer rating. Diggs, top dog. 6 receptions, 77 yards, 0 TDs. Beasley, God bless Beasley, man. I got to give him some love, man, and some credit right here, because this dude, wow, he gutted it out. Now we're finding out he was gutting it out on a broken fibula. That's basically a broken leg. I had that in my rookie year. Sat me down for like 6 or 7 games. To hear that this dude was gutting it out, that's to be commended, man. I'm telling you right now, that's to be commended. That's incredible. He gutted it out for 7 receptions, 88 yards with 0 TDs. Get this now. Here they all pros. 287 passing, 77 receiving by Diggs, 88 receiving by Beasley, 0 touchdowns by both receivers, 2 TDs by Josh Allen with 1 interception. Now, Patrick Mahomes went 325 yards, 3 TDs, and 0 interception. He outdid Allen. Allen had an 80 passer rating. Patrick Mahomes was 127. I'm just talking about all pros versus all pros. Travis Kelce, all pro, 13 for 118 with 2 TDs, 13 receptions, 118 yards, 2 TDs. I'm going to say 13 receptions again, because that last reception, that last touchdown, I was telling them, I was yelling at my TV. No, somebody don't let him throw it to Kelce. Don't, because I knew that 13 reception was going to break my record for most receptions in a championship game. And he did break my record with that 13th reception. And I'm like, come on, man, throw that somewhere else. Just leave me in the books. You heard what Eric Dickerson said. Nobody wants their records to be broken. And I didn't want mine to go away. That bothered and hurt me. But I got to congratulate that young man on a great job and getting it done. And they tried. what they tried to do, what Buffalo tried to do. Buffalo tried to play these guys and said, we can stop you. We can get you. We're gonna line up with you. And Tyreek Hill and Kelce killed them. You got to take one of those guys away and let one of them do what they do. And most of the time, it's best to take away Tyreek Hill and live with what Travis Kelce was doing. But they tried to just say, no, we're going to play him straight up. And both of them killed you. The Bills All-Pros did not match up to the Chiefs All-Pros. This was not going to be about running like it was in week six. This was going to be about that ball being thrown around. And Josh Allen, you didn't make enough plays. And that other kid, Patrick Mahomes, he made enough plays. That's why they won that game. And I'm telling you something, man, it's going to be hard. You hear me? It's going to be hard. As I see what these teams have right here, man, I say to myself, it's going to be hard for anybody to beat that Chiefs team. We will talk about some of that because that Chiefs team, oh, they just look good, man. They just look great all over the field, everything they do. And Andy Reid has them playing at such a high level. It really is enjoyable to watch. It really is. But the Bills, they got to go find some more help. A few plays in there, man, that I'll point out. I was talking about it on Inside the NFL last night. Slant route. That slant route with John Brown, right? They throw John Brown a slant route. He kind of muff with it. The ball comes off his hands. It's an interception. It goes the other way. And I was like, man, see, John Brown is a speed guy. And the league has changed. They can't even hit you on slant routes like they used to. But yet and still, courage must be involved. There is no such thing as fearlessness. You must have some courage. And you need those players. I think Buffalo needs a few more players that can give them that, that can make those courage kind of receptions and then leave the things that go up the field. I wouldn't run John Brown on anything 20 yards or less. I'm saying go up the field. Maybe I'll give him a jet sweep or something like that because he has speed, but I'm not asking him to bang around in here with these big boys. So, yes, you got a one in Stephon Diggs. You got a slot in Cole Beasley, but the Buffalo Bills should still be looking and still be in the business of finding another receiver. Finding another receiver, maybe a big receiver, one other big receiver. I like Davis. I understand all of that. Everybody start talking about, oh, they got some guys. But I'm just saying you're going to need some guys that knows how to step up and play in those moments. And before I move off the game, let me tell you what else stuck out in my mind when I watched it. And I'll tell you guys this, Bills fans, they'll get Josh Allen better, and you will be back. One thing that I saw that made me know the Bills will be back. They'll be back. Did you see Diggs when he stayed out and watched that celebration for the Chiefs? He was crying. He wouldn't leave. His coach had to come and get him. When Coach McDermott came out, he dropped his head on his shoulder and just cried while the confetti was blowing in the air. And I said, oh my God. Oh my God. I said, they'll be back. They'll be back. Because Diggs gonna drag them back. He's the emotional leader. He's the heart of that team. And he stayed out there and received that pain. He received that pain. You know why? Because it will be his fuel all off season. And I guarantee you, Buffalo will be back. As much as it hurts to see that and to see him go through it and to see him endure it and see he wouldn't leave, they had to go tell the head coach, we can't go. You got to go get Diggs. He won't leave. He just sucked it all in. And I saw it. And then when they posted it, man, remember I told y'all how much I love Jarvis Landry. I was like, okay, I'm trying. I never really read comments. But then I went through and just looked at it and Josh Landry. Man, I love this. Jarvis Landry, he hit him with, use it all, bro. Use it all. And if you didn't get it right then, see, those kind of dudes that know and will receive pain and say, this is on me. That's how you know they will be back. Josh Jarvis has that. That's how you know Cleveland will be back in the fight. Buffalo will be back in the fight because of that. I'm not so sure about the Giants. That's why I got on the Giants when they were tweeting the Eagles. I'm like, shut up and just receive the pain so you could do something great with it. The truth is, out of most of our greatest pain really lies our greatest promise. That's the truth. Because you go through enough pain, you'll say, oh, my God, I'll never have this happen again. Somebody loses their kid to cancer, and then they go and start doing cancer research. They say, I'll never let another parent feel this pain again. It's their pain that pushes them to a great promise. This is how things happen. Don't be afraid of your pain. Go ahead and receive it, and then use it and propel you to your great promise. I don't want to get off into that. I just wanted to break that in because I really like watching Diggs sit out there like that, man. My heart was breaking, but my spirit was jumping because I knew the kind of man that was being built just by him watching like that. Oh, God, I talk about stuff like that all day. I get goosebumps, boy. I'm telling you, I know what to make a monster. I know what to make a monster. That'll make a monster out of you, boy. You'll come back and whoop somebody, but all day long. I'm just telling you, I'm going too far on that. I'm too much on that. Let's jump to the NFC game because that was a great game. I don't care what you say. That was a great game. And I'm going to teach something here today. I want to teach something here right now today because I got into this battle with some people. And I say teach. I'm going to speak. You want to receive it, you receive it. You don't want to receive it, I can understand. But I want you to hear at least what this is I am about to say. Understand this. Get this now. And here lies the difference between good and great. This NFC game was about legends. Two legends. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Buccaneers at Packers. Let me give you numbers because we deal in them so much in this business. Tom, 280 yards, 3 TDs, 3 interceptions. 73 passer rating. A-Rod, 346 yards, 3 TDs, 1 interception. 101 passer rating. Those are numbers. They asked me, game on the line, who are you taking, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? I said, are you joking? I'm taking Tom Brady. 10 times out of 10 right now, I'm taking Tom Brady. I used to say Aaron Rodgers. I used to say I'll take Tom Brady with his system or Aaron Rodgers if I don't know the system. But now that I see Tom Brady in a whole new system doing what he always does, I'm taking Tom Brady. I don't care how many days a week you got. If you got 7, I'm taking them all 7. If you got 10, I take all 10. I ain't never heard a 10-day week, but all 10, I'm still taking Tom because he knows how to make the plays in the moment that counts most. We argue about greatness at the quarterback position. The Buccaneers beat the Packers 31-26. I want folks to understand this, and I'm going to say this here for the first time. I've never heard anybody say this, but I want you to get it. Numbers are for the regular season. Numbers are for regular season. Letters are for the postseason. Numbers are for the regular season. Letters for the postseason. You see, numbers are for us trying to get a measurement on where you rank throughout the league. Oh, he averaged this many yards a game. He averaged this many touchdowns. He's this. Oh, he's this in the league. We need those numbers to help measure you against everybody in the league. So we play with numbers. We play with numbers all season long. But when we get into this postseason, it ain't about numbers anymore. Tom Brady had only 280 yards, 3 touchdowns. He threw for 3 interceptions with a 73 passer rating. Aaron Rodgers had better numbers. He had better numbers. He didn't have 3 INTs. But let me break those INTs down that Tom Brady threw. Tom Brady threw those INTs. He threw them up the field. They were long passes that got intercepted, right? So now, they were not converted in the points. So, yeah, I lost the down. I lost the down, but I didn't lose anything else. Now, if I threw the interception backed up against my own goal line, now I'm losing 3 points that I automatically give them. The defense covered me, so those three interceptions. So we come out of the game, I'm like, well, Tom didn't play well. He only had 280 yards, three touchdowns, and three interceptions. I said, shut up. That's regular season stuff. Oh, Aaron Rodgers played good. He had 346 yards, three touchdowns, and just one interception. Shut up. That's regular season stuff. Those are numbers for the regular season. In the postseason, it's only about letters. What letters are you talking about, Michael? I'm talking about a W. I'm talking about an L. That's it. That's it. I don't want to hear how many you threw for. We're not going to be talking about it in 5 years. You remember when Tom Brady went through his 10th Super Bowl, he threw three interceptions in the championship game against Aaron Rodgers. Nobody going to say that shit. Nobody cares about that because numbers don't matter here. It's about letters. So I get in discussions with guys that just gives me a headache. And I tell them, I said, just sit still, man. Let me get a hammer and crack your cranium and fertilize your brain and give you some knowledge on this. It's not about numbers in the postseason. It's about letter. W or letter L. And Tom gets the letter W while everybody else gets the letter L. Tom has the letter W 10 times in championship games, and he has the letter L 4 times in championship games. Aaron Rodgers got the W 1 time in championship game, and he got the letter L 4 times in championship game. The last 4 times, he's got the letter L. And if you added up all those numbers, he's probably thrown for way more yards than Tom. But if you dissect it and break it down, when the game was on the line, Tom made the play, and Aaron did not. That play right before the half by Tom Brady, to make that call, to throw that ball, to make that decision and get that touchdown to Scotty Miller, that's about a decision. That's a game-crucial decision that made a difference and won the game. That play late in the game, Aaron Rodgers, he had wide open on third down. He could have run awfully close to the end zone, and I say 95%, 99%, 95% of the time he would have scored. 95% chance he would have scored that touchdown. But he didn't. He tried to throw that ball across his body, and that was an incomplete pass. You've had the ability to do this for so long, and I always say this, folks, sometimes your greatest asset can become your greatest liability. Right then, that confidence, that gifted arm, his ability to throw on the move, has been his greatest asset all these years. Right then in that moment, it became his greatest liability. He should have sat that down and ran that ball. When they had a 4th and 8, would have made it an easy decision, an easier decision. None of them are easy, but it would have been an easier decision for his head coach to make. That part we got to consider when we are talking about greatness at the quarterback position. And speaking of Aaron Rodgers, let's break off into all this that's going on around Aaron Rodgers. You know, right after the game, Aaron Rodgers gave this cryptic interview. You guys have heard all about it, and now he's coming back out and maybe a little bit backtracking a little bit, but still saying some of the same things. You know, nobody knows the future and all of that stuff. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Aaron Rodgers, you just lost the game and you making a play, power play here? So you were thinking about a power play even during the game instead of thinking about winning the game. It had to be. I don't want to hear that. It had to be. It had to be. Because right after that game, I hear Aaron Rodgers questioning his future with Green Bay, and then I hear Aaron Rodgers wants more money. And, oh, my God. Right after the game, you guys couldn't wait a week to drop this? Somebody could have waited a week to drop it. For me, and you start hearing some of the things Jermichael Finley, when Jermichael Finley calls Aaron Rodgers, he says he's self-centered and selfish. This is just some of the things, you know, Greg Jennings, some of these guys that have said some things about the guy that they played with. I've never heard a wide receiver say anything bad about my quarterback. I've never said anything bad about him because he's a great dude. I don't know Aaron Rodgers like that personally. I don't spend a lot of time with him. But Troy is a great dude. But some people have said other things about Aaron Rodgers. And then when this stuff happens, you say, wow. Wow. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. Aaron Rodgers is using this moment to get back. I guess we all have some of that in us. I just told you about receiving the pain. I have to monitor all I say about Aaron Rodgers because I didn't receive the pain he received when Jordan Love got drafted. So when he comes back and he says, okay, you got me by drafting Jordan Love. Now I'm going to one-up you and go win MVP and put some pressure on you to make a decision. You drafting him, make me know you're going to sit him for a while and I don't have to worry about it by giving me more money. That's basically what he's saying. Let's redo this deal and make me comfortable. I went out, I got mad, I won MVP. The Packers should be saying, why do we have to make you mad to perform like this? That's some reason I shouldn't give. Maybe I shouldn't give you the money because then I got to make you mad again after I gave you all that money. Ain't no telling which direction you go with it. You know what I mean? Because it is real business. We're doing real business. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers wrong. Do it how you want to do it. I'm just saying I need you to make better decisions on the field like Tom Brady, you know? I need you to make those game-winning decisions thinking about letters in the playoffs, not numbers. It wouldn't have mattered if you thrown that touchdown or ran that touchdown. You're looking for the letter. You're not looking for another touchdown pass. You're looking for the W. You're not looking for more yards. You're looking for the W. I'm not trying to throw the longest pass. I'm just looking for the W. And Tom Brady just looks and finds the W. He just finds the W. He's not worried about numbers. That's why he's never made the most money. He's always looking for the W. And that's what makes me love him most. Now, I want to flip this, too, as we talk these quarterbacks, man, because the other side of what Aaron Rodgers is going through, he's been there so long, and then they draft Jordan Love. And then Matthew Stafford, he's given such long service, and now they're saying, hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road. That's what they're saying to Matthew Stafford. You know what I think about with this? As I look and I see and I tie this back in with what Deshaun Watson is doing, saying he wants out in Houston. You see these guys that are putting these long years, a lot of great years. Aaron Rodgers is giving Green Bay and Matthew Stafford is giving Detroit. And in the end, the organization does what they do. They keep it moving. I never forget listening to LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And they were talking about how when they sat and talked about it, they looked and said, wow, if Chicago did that to Michael Jordan, you know any organization would do it to any player. So they started changing the narrative. Like, okay, then I don't have to be loyal. I'm going to play out the career like I want. He wanted to play in Cleveland, then he went to Miami, and he went back to Cleveland, and then he goes to L.A. You know, he's playing the career that he wants and not allowing someone hold him to this veil that we call loyalty, that in order to really have loyalty, it must go both ways, and usually that loyalty contract is a one-track because only one way. They want loyalty. They want you to give it to them, but they have no intentions of giving it to you. If they did it to Michael Jordan, and obviously they did it to Tom Brady, they let him get away. They let Joe Montana get away. And now they're letting Matthew Stafford get away or pushing him away. I'm telling you, man, the Deshaun Watsons, they have to see this and say, okay, I understand. Then I got a cut for me. That's why I don't have a gripe with Deshaun Watson demanding better around him. ultimately, and I keep telling people this, ultimately, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, nobody remembers the GMs. They're going to say Matthew Stafford didn't win a Super Bowl. They're not going to say, well, what about all them GMs he had? No. They say Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. Nobody knows even who the GM was. So these guys are being invested. They said, I got a vested interest in how I am to be seen, how my legacy will be laid. And when you see Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers getting the treatment they get after playing the way they played, I'm just saying, you have to understand, that's the business, man. It's a tough business, and that's the business of playing quarterback. And we got so much good stuff going on this offseason about quarterbacking. It's going to be off the chain. Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere, but I can't wait to find out where the Matthew Staffords fall, what happens with Drew Brees, what happens with the Cam Newtons, all of those things. Where is Deshaun Watson going to end up? And then we got new guys coming in. So that quarterback carousel and those quarterback conversations, they're going to be great for a long time. A long time. I'm looking forward to it. Guys, I just want to touch this right quick. Just touch this on a macro level. This Super Bowl, this young GOAT versus the old GOAT. I know everybody, I'm talking the kid versus the GOAT. No, it's the young GOAT versus the old GOAT. This kid right now, he's an offsides away from playing in the last three Super Bowls in his first 3 years start. It's safe to say that's a young GOAT. That's young GOAT status. I'm going to give that young GOAT status. The man is the only guy to play in two championship games before the age of 26. Yeah, man. He's working on young GOAT status. And here's why I give him the young GOAT status prior to any time that you give it to anybody else. Even though Tom Brady started out like this, he started out winning. And you know who else did it? Russell Wilson started out early, taking his team to Super Bowl, started out winning. But in both cases, those guys were using defense and run games early in their career. It was defense and run games. Patrick Mahomes has done this thing strictly with that arm. Now, yeah, he has some legs to buy him some time. But it ain't like he's Lamar Jackson breaking out running. It ain't even like he's Josh Allen breaking out running. He's just breaking out to buy more time so he can hit you with another dime. Boom. We can call him young GOAT. This young GOAT Vernon going up against his old GOAT, Tom Brady. And here lies the difference as I talk to you about it, because all of these guys, all these other quarterbacks, they've been physically superior to Tom, but mentally inferior to Tom. Physically superior, but mentally inferior. Patrick Mahomes is the first time Tom is going to face physically superior and mentally close by. Not inferior, close by. I won't say more than Tom, but damn near close by. He's physically superior than Tom, but mentally, he's close by. This kid makes the right decisions with the football pretty much all the time. The bad decisions or the wrong decisions that you've seen Aaron Rodgers make, this kid rarely makes them. He just doesn't do it. He just doesn't do it. And this is going to be one of Tom's greatest challenges, because every other quarterback Tom has faced, they've been superior physically, but mentally and decision-making and in those crucial moments, they fell short of Tom's glory. Patrick Mahomes may not fall short, and if he does, he will fall short by very little when he is physically superior by very lot. That's all I'm saying. That's going to bear watching. Because Tom is going to have to usher in some more guys to help him overcome this superior passer He won't be able to do it like he did to Aaron Rodgers and all. These guys going to have to step up, boy, because this dude here do not make bad decisions. I can't wait to get to that game. And we'll get into it more. We'll dive into more of the breakdown of it next week because we got 2 weeks. So I just want to touch on that great matchup. But before I leave that Super Bowl, I talked to you about Bell and Brown. Bell and Brown coming to town. Did you guys know what I was talking about then? How crazy is it if I hired the greatest writers and asked these guys to write these stories, they couldn't do it? I tell you, they could not do it. Ain't no way they could do it. How crazy is it that Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown both will be playing in Super Bowl 55? Both will be playing in Super Bowl 55. Both ushered out of Pittsburgh. Both in week 11 when Pittsburgh was sitting there undefeated must have been saying, what the hell did we do? Because everybody was saying, boy, how stupid they look. Pittsburgh look undefeated. Look what they're doing without them. And it looks like Pittsburgh had won. We keep talking about Tom Brady won.
Tom Brady beat Belichick. Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Belichick didn't make the playoffs. Tom Brady won.
Well, does that mean Bell and Brown won? Because they're in the Super Bowl and Pittsburgh's home. Bell and Brown's in the Super Bowl. And Pittsburgh is home. I'm not saying they won. Because I think having a legacy in Pittsburgh, and maybe if they were in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh could have made it farther than they made it. But for right now, since we don't wait to the end of the game to keep the score, we keep score as we go along. Right now, Bell and Brown in a Super Bowl. And for an athlete, there is no greater accomplishment than to play in a championship game. Play for all the marbles to become the Super Bowl champion or the world champion. So, man, I'm just wondering if you see them winning like we say Tom Brady won. Do you see Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell winning the same as Tom Brady? Guys, we get to talk to one of the best to ever do it. In a year where tight ends and Travis Kelce has done some incredible things, and we will ask him all about this, we get to talk to the dude that I'm sure Travis Kelce had on his wall growing up his whole life watching. That's my main man, and he's an 88 clubber. Tight end from the Kansas City Chiefs, Tony Gonzalez. Joins the MIP next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Joining the MIP right now is another 88 clubber. You guys know how I feel about 88 clubs. 88 clubbers, the number itself. And this man right here, he does it well. I just want to go through this. I just want to read this. Now, I will never go through everything, but all of it is so crazy and impressive that it blows your mind. This number 88 played the position of tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is, get this, a six-time first-team All-Pro, four-time second-team All-Pro, 14-time Pro Bowler. That's insane. NFL reception leader in 04, NFL 2000 All-Decade Team, NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team, Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. He was a consensus All-American. This dude was everything, and he's an NFL Hall of Famer, and now excelling again in broadcasting, joining the MIP, the Mike Orvin Podcast, is number 88, the Hall of Fame tight end, Tony Gonzalez. Tony, thanks for taking this time, man. Tony, I know we get busy trying to accomplish the next thing in life and trying to do whatever we're trying to do and take care of our families as we move forward in life. But Tony, do you ever sit back and think about all this that you have done, buddy, how blessed you've been to accomplish all that you've accomplished?
Hello. Right. No, Michael, actually, I'm quite, happy and content where I'm at. I never think about it.
As you hold that Hall of Fame bus right there.
As I'm holding my you think about this stuff and what you accomplished over your life. You take a little pride, but at the same time, you also look to the future and you say, okay, what's next? How can I keep having a good mark? How can I keep helping out? And how can I keep enjoying myself? But yeah, I look back sometime, and reminisce a little bit. Just like you, I see all the trophies behind you and what you've done. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. We should be proud of what we've done. And I'm proud of what I was able to accomplish during my career.
And I try to tell dudes now, even more so now, Tony, now that I've gotten older, I look back. And I know this not with you, but I was doing this other show, and the guy was asking me something, right? He was asking, like, with all the things that you've done on the field and even some of the crazy stuff I've done off the field, he was like, do you regret some of it? I said, man, I think every day I should have won more Super Bowls or won more championships. I should have, threw more time into it. Even though I've had a great career, I still come back because, I should have done this. It's like I realize even more now than I did then. Back then, I was just doing it and playing. Now, I look back and say, man, I should have just given this even more attention than I did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. And, I look at someone like Tom Brady and the success that he's had.
Right.
You got to – us as Hall of Famers and guys that have had this great career, you look at him and you go, oh, my God. Why and how? At least I ask myself, how was he able – and then to do it again now in Tampa – What is that secret formula that he keeps bringing? And I know he's on a very good team, too. I mean, he's probably got the most balanced roster in the NFL this year with the Bucs. But there's still something there that he's doing. And I look at myself during my career. All this man cares about is winning. They've asked him about legacy. And he's like, I don't ever think about that. And I believe him now. I'm really starting to believe him.
Right.
And I think that's part of the reason why he has so much success. He's not comparing himself to anybody. All he wants is that ring at the end of the season, and he gets along with everybody. I wish I could have – you talked about going back. If I could change things in my career, I wish I was perhaps less selfish. I wish I was not comparing myself to other players around the league a little bit more. Maybe I could have had even a better career. I probably would have enjoyed myself a little bit more. And maybe the team could have had more success if I wasn't as – I'm not saying I was a selfish player. I think I was a pretty good teammate. But, take it even further, and I think that's what makes Tom so great and so successful. So, yeah, there's certain things you look back and go, man, I probably could have done it a little bit better.
But it's almost impossible to even fathom somebody thinking about going to 10 Super Bowls and winning 7. I'm just like, hey, man, let me just get to one. I just need to get to one. Let me get to one, So that kind of drive that Tom has, that kind of knowledge, I'm going to tell you something, Tony. I'm convinced. We've focused so much, and we should, on gifts shoulders down when it comes to football because it's a gladiator sport, But this thing is really about what you're doing shoulders up and the decision-making. And Tom, it's just been great at that. We keep asking the question, who would you take the last drive? We'll ask it again this week, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes? And I love Patrick Mahomes, but Tom has done it enough to get to 10 Super Bowls. How can I pick anybody but him?
Yeah. And I think that's what differentiates him, from the other GOATs, It's at the end of a game in crunch time, his ability to compartmentalize and focus. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that that Tiger Woods documentary, or the Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Right. What makes Michael Jordan better than, in my opinion, you say I would take him over Scottie Pippen. Like, it's not like physically he's that much better.
That's a good analogy. That's a good one too.
you know, Scotty had it all. I mean, maybe even more. He was longer. He could jump probably higher. Like could just at least right there the same, physically the same. But what separates those guys, I'm talking those goats of the goats, is that ability to compartmentalize and just lock in and focus and nothing else matters. And when the game is on the line, they make the best decision because they're so locked in. They're not going to do what Aaron Rodgers did. When we look back at that play at the end of the game, when that third down, where it's like, hey, just run for the touchdown right there. You know, he had the ability. It looks like, I don't know if he would have made it. Right. It looked like he probably, where that decision if he could go back, if he was more focused, he would have ran for that touchdown and it would have worked out for him. So we're talking about little details. They're both – Aaron Rodgers is going to go down as probably a top three quarterback in NFL history, or top five, whatever you want to call it, anyway. But just that little extra added focus and concentration, it's just a little bit that can make all the difference in the world of winning, you know, of going to 10 Super Bowls versus one or two.
And the guy's just been he's been insane, man. When you talk about it, man, but that's not to take away from what your Chiefs are doing over there. Oh my God. Oh my God, Tony. Yeah. Tony, wait. And we're going to get to this matchup. But we just talked about The Last Dance and the documentaries of the GOATs of the GOATs. Tom Brady is the GOAT of the GOAT. Now you see a young Patrick Mahomes and you see what he's doing. Do you believe, and Patrick Mahomes is one offsides away from already being at three, having 3-2. Do you believe ultimately, because that'll be the name, that'll be the conversation, he would absolutely one day catch Tom Brady in Super Bowl appearances or even Super Bowl wins?
If he can keep what they have now, and I said it at the beginning of the season, like, put the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl. I mean, because they have that same roster that they had last year. And to me, it's unstoppable. I'm still going to – you haven't asked the question yet, but obviously I'm rooting for the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs are really going to win.
I know you are.
I think they'll beat the Bucs. But if Patrick Mahomes can do what Tom has done, I think what really separates Tom, too, is what he's done off the field. And off the field meaning, like, when it comes to contract time. Right now, Tom Brady's only making – when I say only, we're talking comparatively speaking, he's making $25 million a year. He's done this throughout his career. He's always taken less money to surround himself with a better team because all he cares about is rings. And I think he understands if I can get the rings, the money that I miss out on will be made up during the offseason. I can go do it because I believe he's lost over $100 million in money that
He left on the table, you mean?
Yeah.
He left on the table to help. Right.
To go,
right.
He's taken less money. He's always been at the, like, in the midterm, even right now, $25 million compared to guys that are making
nothing.
Like Russell Wilson, those, and when you make all that money, you can't go out and sign contracts. And so I bring him back to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, right now, that half a billion dollar deal that he took, from the outside looking at you, like, half a billion dollars, my God.
That's a sweet deal for the biz.
But that's a 12 year deal. He has spread that out. And this is why his cap number this year, I think it's less than $5 million, and last year next year it's less than $5 million. So he's going to have the same team again next year. If they win again, they're going to have a chance to go back for a three-peat because he's got all those players around him. And then after that, then it goes up to that $30 million hit against the cap, $40 million hit against the cap. I think if he can keep renegotiating his contract and keep pushing that money out and keep surrounding himself with the team, because that's how you win football games. You got to have offense and defense. You got to have Chris Jones. You got to have Frank Clark. You got to have the Honey Badger. And then you got to be able to pay Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and the offensive lineman, Eric Fisher. You got to have the money. If he buys into that, what Tom has done throughout his whole career, I've gone back and ran the numbers on it. That is another reason why you will have success. So that otherwise, if you take those maxed out deals, those, and I'm nothing against those guys, Deshaun Watson, what he did with his deal where he's making $40 million a year, it's a four-year deal, huge cap hits. You're not going to be able to surround yourself with the right guys to go out there and make a Super Bowl run. You're going to have a brilliant career, but you just won't win the rings. And I think Patrick Mahomes understands that, and he'll have a brilliant career if he can really just follow what Tom Brady's done on both sides, on the field and off the field.
And you bring that up, Tony. Let me ask you this, because I'm kind of a little remiss on this, how okay, even Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about the money people are making. Aaron Rodgers played that game, right? Right after the game, they're talking about, you know, we don't know our future. And then right after that, I hear basically he wants a new contract. So you talked about Tom. Tom is always thinking about team, and you know, and he's giving back money. You're right. Do you think that, okay, if you brought that out right after that championship game like that, right at the end, that this has already been on your mind as opposed to the championships? You're thinking about money again, which, to your point. That's why you're 1-4 and he's 10-4. Do you not? Because I'm surprised nobody's really talking about that, as he could bring up he wants that he's addressing his future, basically holding them hostage. I'm the MVP. You draft Jordan Love. I got mad. Give me more money. Do you not see it that way?
I kind of see it that way. And I like Aaron, by the
me
way.
Me too.
And yeah, and I know you like him too. But when you come and look at it from that perspective, that's probably a reason why, you know, you don't have as many rings as someone like Tom or other guys in history that have been able to get multiple rings. If you do that, though, and like I said, it isn't me saying this. Just look at the numbers.
Numbers, right.
Just if you don't have enough space to go out there and get you other players on the team, you won't win. And I'm not going to say he's holding them hostage, because there are people out there that will say, get what you can, get as much as you can, right, while you can. And I've heard this from players in the league. And I say, great, I guess. But to me, especially with the quarterbacks I'm making, I'm not counting another man's money. That's, he can do whatever he wants. But I know if I was in that situation, I would say, if I'm making $40 million or $30 million, I know that's a $10 million difference, but I'm going to be okay. $30 million.
If I'm winning, I'm going to make at least that on the back end. I can make at least that on the back end.
And $30 million is $30 million. I think I'll be okay. I'm not going to be hungry. I'll be able to go on private jets and yachts and whatever you want to do with the money. I don't think you're going to miss it too much. And I think the ring is worth that much. I think it's worth that much.
And as they get older and older, like we are, they'll look back and say the same stuff that you're saying right now, to be honest with you, man. And I want to jump into this, because you mentioned it. You already said you got Kansas City winning this football game, but let's break down a little bit of Kansas City, man. Tell me something, Tony. With all these numbers you put up, you had 1,325 receptions, 15,127 yards, 111 receiving touchdowns. What do you think Tony Gonzalez would be doing in this offense, in this system today? Because people always ask me this, Tony. And I'm like, don't even ask me that. Don't even ask. I don't even put my brain on that stuff. Do you ever think about that?
Oh, my God. And people, obviously, I get the comparison to Travis Kelce, because he's a Kansas City Chief. I was a Kansas City Chief. And people are like, man, he's putting up bigger numbers than Utah. And people try, you know, especially my friends, guys that we played with, you know, they're like, oh, he's better than you. He's better than you. They try to get me going. And I say, well, if I had Andy Reid and I had Patrick Mahomes and these defenses where they can't touch you, they can't even touch you, where, you know, when we play, I'd go against someone like Rodney Harris and or Bill Romanowski, and literally they're jumping on my back. I got it looks like a monkey. Capuchin spider monkey is on my back as I'm trying to get down the field. It's just different rules. We could play that game all day, but you know, it is what it is. I love it. I love, because people want to see the offense. I get it. But yeah, if I had this, if I had the rules that they have in place right now, I think my numbers would be right there on par with what Travis and what Kittle and what all those great tight ends in the league are doing right now. Your numbers would too. You'd be up there around 16 to 1800 yards a year, going out. You and Troy, Troy in this era, it would be it would have been unfair. So
it's what I would say. I said, man, do you understand, dudes? Like those dudes you talking about, Romanowski, you know, they're not trying to knock the ball down. They're just going to separate the ball you from the ball. They want you to touch it, and they're going to touch you at the same time. It's none of that. Defenseless receiver mess. You know, now you're like, all right, you can take out courage. I can catch anything. You can't hit me. If you do, it's a first down. I got to catch the ball. So yeah, you're right. It's massively different in that way. You mentioned some of the great tight ends out there. You mentioned Kittle. You mentioned Kelce. I know you get that comparison because I see it. I see it when I'm looking at it, and it trips me out. And I like Travis Kelce. I think he's a great guy, fun-loving guy. You know what I mean? The kind of guy that you can really have as a great teammate, wanting to make things fun all the time. Did you see when Mecole Hardman on the sideline the other day and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes went over to him? Man, Tony, when I see stuff like that, that's why I'm like, oh, man, that was cool. You know what I'm saying? The leadership they show. Leadership. Come on, buddy. We'll need you in there. That stuff, when you get your top players doing that, you have something special, man. Break down those tight ends. Break down those tight ends. Who do you call the best tight end in the game right now? Give me the top five in order, or the top three you have in order.
Top three. Well, you know, I'm going to put Kittle and Kelce up there. I think it's tomato, tomato with those two guys. What style do you like, I guess? Do you want that rumbling, tumbling, tough guy? I always compare these guys to music. Kittle is the heavy metal, rock and roll style of play. And Kelce is that R&B, you know, smooth jazz, you know, wiry, snaky type guy. Both very good in their own rights. It just depends on what style do you like. So I put those guys up there as the top two for sure. Kittle likes the block, where Kelce is not really into the blocking part of the game. Kind of a throwback for Kittle there. And then the third guy, I think that's where it gets tricky right now. That's where it gets tough. And right now I'd probably go with Darren Waller from the Raiders. I like him a lot. He's a big body guy. He's an ex receiver, but he's about 55 pounds, 6'5", 6'6", can run a 4.4 40. I think if he has the opportunity, Derek Carr's a good quarterback. If he can get into that good offense with some good play, he'd be putting up he already went over 1,000 yards this year, but he's probably rounding out the top three, those three guys right there.
Yeah, I agree with you on those three, man. Those are three beasts of dudes, man. And in good systems to showcase what they do from a tight end's perspective, man. You say you got Kansas City winning this football game. How massive or how big of a margin would you say they will win this football game?
Well, you know, I only because Tom is on the other side, I think it's going to be somewhat close. But right now, Mike, looking at that Kansas City Chief offense, when you got 15, number 10, and number 87, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, it's a wrap. Every defense in the NFL, you better bring one player extra on the field because you're not going to be able to guard him. And you add Clyde Edwards-Helaire in there, Darrell Williams, the running back, number 31, he is balling. And here's the trump card, I think, when it comes to the Super Bowl. And we haven't seen it yet, but we saw it in last year's Super Bowl. Sammy Watkins is going to be healthy. Sammy Watkins last year in the playoff run they had 96, averaged 96 yards per game last year in the playoffs for them and had over 100 yards in the Super Bowl. When you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you probably got to put four guys on both of those, on those two. And now you've got one-on-one with Sammy Watkins on the other side of the field, which is what he happened in the playoffs when he went against what's the DB's name from 49ers?
Sherman. Richard Sherman.
I'm sorry. When he got one-on-one with Sherman and went over the top, that's what I think is going to happen here. I just don't see the Buccaneers being able to cover. So I think the Chiefs, because I want to be respectful to Tom and the Bucs, I still think they have a good roster. But I'm going to say Chiefs by 7. But I could easily see it going up to 14 to 17. I'm telling you, it could be a blowout.
So anyway, what must happen for the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl?
They better not turn the ball over. I mean, against the Packers, you know, Tom had a rough game. I mean, I know everybody loves Tom, but he should have had 4 interceptions, had 3. If you do that against the Chiefs, it's going to be over. So they cannot turn the ball over. They better run the ball. They have really good running backs in Rojo and why am I forgetting names right now? the other running back. So you can run the football. Don't turn Fournette. I'm sorry. So don't turn the ball over. Run the football and try to just keep everything in front of them. Try to get them off the field as quickly as possible. They got a good defense. Devin White, you know, David, Lamonte David, JPP, Shaq Barrett. You better get pressure on Mahomes. But even if you do, it doesn't. He can make plays with his legs. I just try to limit them to 24 points. and hope that the Buccaneers offense can score more than 24, because there's no way they're not going to score less than 24 points to me.
On that. And I thought about something. Okay, can that defense muster up a great game against this Chiefs? And it's hard, especially with what they did in week 12. You saw what Tyreek Hill, it'll be a hard one. This would be one of the biggest upsets in a while. Because even watching, just for Tom them to try to match that offense, I think it's going to be tough, but it's going to be great to watch. That's for sure. It's going to be great to watch. I want to talk to you about some of the things that are going on around this league. Like, look at the quarterbacks we have on the move, man. There are going to be a lot of quarterbacks that will probably be on the move in this league. How do you like what we're seeing now in the quarterback? In the case of guys like Deshaun Watson, who are, you talked about it, just demanded a $40 million a year deal and now demanding to be traded. When you see all of that, what are your thoughts when you see the league going through that?
Yeah, I see it. You see it with, I guess, Matthew Stafford probably. Maybe you can throw him in there and try to get out of there. I don't know what's going on with Deshaun. Maybe he feels like, hey, I'm going to get wasted here because he wants to win Super Bowls and all that stuff. It's tough. That's the thing about the NFL. People think that, in my case, we were like, oh, you never won a Super Bowl. And I'm like, well, you know what? A lot of things got to go right. You got to have the quarterback. You got to have a good coach. You got to have a stable organization. And so I don't know what's going on out there in Houston. But Deshaun is a talent. There's no doubt about it. I think, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. If I'm a quarterback in this league, if you really want to differentiate or separate yourself, you prorate your money over the long haul. And yeah, you're taking a risk because if you get hurt, then maybe you won't get that money, or you take less money per year. Then you can build that team around yourself. Then you can go out there and have the balanced offense and the defense. As great as Tom Brady is, the reason the Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl is because they have a really balanced football team. They got JPP. They got Shaq Barrett. They got Devin White. They got players. They got the best receiving core Tom's ever had, probably, with Evans and Godwin and Scotty Miller and Gronk and Antonio Brown. It takes more than just one player. And if a quarterback like Deshaun is looking at the Houston Texans and he says the organization and the coaching staff, they're not doing that. They're not bringing in the right players, and I can't buy into that. It's tough. I see where the frustration could come in there. But I would like to do things behind closed doors. I don't want to put my stuff out in the public. And he's got to go address that. And then if they say, hey, this is just how we do business and it ain't changing, I think he has a right to ask for a trade. I'm not saying I would do that, but that's his prerogative. We'll see how it works out for him.
Yeah, and especially and that stuff don't always work out. But you bring that up now; it was interesting now because especially like Sumi and I, when you're the quarterback, because ultimately, Tony, think about this. And I ask people, who was Dan Marino's GM? No, people don't say that GM didn't win a Super Bowl, but they'll put that on Dan because he's the quarterback. Yeah. Oh, Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. Dan can be saying, "I was doing my part. The GM didn't do it." What do you mean? Who was the GM? Nobody knows, So I understand that Deshaun wants to put pressure on that because just from a legacy standpoint. But as you said, if you really care about all that, you got to look at those other factors too. You really got to look at all those other factors to make sure you're giving yourself the best opportunity to win football games, man. And what I was talking about also, you talked about it. You talk about Matthew Stafford. Like I was shocked to see that they're parting ways with Matthew Stafford. And you see Green Bay. I'm shocked to see that Aaron Rodgers is even going through all of that. And I know in basketball, when LeBron James talked about leaving Cleveland, he said that the way Chicago had treated Michael Jordan, he understood there was no loyalty in this business. That probably Cleveland, somebody would do that to him. That's why he started making those decisions to move. Do you not think those young guys like Deshaun and all those see the Matthew Staffs and Aaron Rodgers and say, see, this is what I'm talking about. There's not. This is going to happen to me. So I want to make a move right now to get what I can get out of this. Do you not see it? Do you not think that sometimes affects some of the way they think down the line?
Yeah, I think so. And shoot, I've been in those situations where you feel like the organization isn't going in the right direction. And maybe you also look at your window of an opportunity. And that's the reason that I asked for a trade in year 12. I only thought I was going to play for two more years in Kansas City. And we had just won two games that year. And so, of course, I'm like, hey, and I was all first team all pro that year. And I said, look, I got maybe two more good years. I ended up having five more years. But at that point, after year 12, and so I asked for a trade. And a lot of fans don't understand that.
How hard was that, Tony? Because they love you in Kansas City, Tony. I've been out there. I've come to an event yet. I've seen how they loved you in Kansas City, man. How hard was that?
It was tough. It was really tough. And it was something that it was hard for me to do. That's not my personality. I mean, I had stuck out there for 12 years when I knew even, you know, 3 or 4 years prior to that, like, hey, we're not winning a Super Bowl here. It's just and you can tell, you know, which teams have the talent to go win a Super Bowl. You got to have all pros on defense and all pros on offense. And that's hard to do. Most teams don't. That's why only one team wins the Super Bowl or four teams make it to the championship game, you know, because they're balanced on both sides of the ball. We didn't have that. And so when you have to ask for a trade to a city that you love and the teammates and the family, the Hunt family, it's hard. It's not easy. And you get pushback and you get ridicule. And I did. Like, some of the fans were booing me. They didn't like that because they felt like you should be loyal. But they don't understand that it is a business. And just like I'm asking for a trade, if I wasn't playing as well, that team would say, hey, Tony, you're cut right away because you're not what you used to be. But, and fans have a hard time seeing that. And so I guess players are taking back that power and they're saying, hey, I can create this right situation for me. And the throwbacks and the loyalists, they're going to have a problem with that. But at the same time, I'm for these guys. Take back your power. Put yourself in a good situation to go out there and go after your dream. You want to win a Super Bowl. I would have loved to. That's the reason I went to Atlanta. You know, I had a choice. I didn't have a choice, but, you know, I could have said no to the trade. There was another team out there that wanted to trade for me, and I said, no, I'm not going there because I don't think we'll win there. I want to go to Atlanta because I want to play with a quarterback like Matt Ryan. I want to play with Roddy White. You know, I want to be with that organization that's winning. And it worked out pretty well. If I didn't get a Super Bowl, I played in the NFC Championship game. So these players need to see the guys that have done that before and say, hey, it's worked out for LeBron. I mean, why not? It's worked out. You take that power back and you do it from a good place. I wasn't trying to be selfish.
Right.
Just trying to make sure that I can get the most out of my career and put myself in a position to go win. And sometimes you're going to have to ruffle some feathers. So I think some of these players are doing that now.
And, you know, Tony, I was just thinking about it when you were saying it. Man, I don't know why I felt that when you were talking about that. You know, it just felt a little emotional in here. I had to check my own heart because I know it would have killed me to have to leave Dallas. It would have killed me. You know, it would have just ripped me. I was like, oh, my God, if I had to leave Dallas, man. But the emotions that come with that, man, and then going to a new place. So, you know, that had to be an incredible thing for you, man. I appreciate you sharing that with us, because I'd imagine that was very hard for you to do. But you did have some great years in Atlanta also. I mean, had some great years in Atlanta, man, and you did make it to that NFC Championship game. You know, you look at Kansas City right now, team last year got there after 50 years drought, now going back to back. You played, you know, you talked about the kind of people they are. Explain how those people are going crazy now in Kansas City with the team that they have now, knowing that they have the best team in the NFL.
Those fans deserve it. Some of the best fans in all the NFL, right there with the Packers, with the Buffalo Bills, like those diehards eat, sleep, and breathe Chief football. They have a thing called Red Friday. Whether you're winning or losing, during our bad years and good years, that the whole city dresses up in red on Fridays and they're promoting the Chiefs. I love playing in Kansas City. And they support their team better than anybody, man. It's always a sellout crowd. Even when we weren't good, we're still selling out the crowd. So those fans deserve it. I know they're getting a little spoiled now. And maybe they deserve it too, because we went through some down times. But Patrick Mahomes has them happy for the next decade and beyond. I got a feeling they're going to be kind of like that Tom Brady conversation. It sounds like Patrick understands it. The Chief fans are going to be spoiled for the next 10 years. They're going to be very, very good for a long time.
You said next 10 years. You have right now, Tony, 111 catches, 111 touchdowns. Travis Kelce is about he's at 48 right now. Does he get to 111? Do you know that that's an incredible number? Does he get to 111?
I don't. You know what? If anybody can do it, he can do it. And what is he in year 7 or 8? He's got an opportunity, especially playing with that quarterback and the big man, the Andy Reid, who knows how to call plays with him. He's a genius. He's got his shot, but at the same time, a lot of these players, one thing that I've also said about Tom is this is where he's different, is why do you keep coming back? Like, I don't understand. You got 6 rings. You got all the money you could ever want. You got the great, the family life, all that stuff. Like, what makes you want to keep coming back? Because he loves the game. And if Travis says, because to get to 111 touchdowns or as many catches as I had or whatever, it's kind of like chasing Jerry Rice, where you're like, who wants to play 21 years? Yeah. I mean, I honestly, part of the reason I played that long is because I felt like I had to, from a financial standpoint too. It was like, hey, I made more money in those last 5 years in my career than I did the first 12 years combined.
Right.
So the money that these guys are making, because football is a tough way to make a living. It's hard on your body. And I got incredibly lucky to be able to walk away pretty healthy. And a lot of guys can't say that. Playing 17 years, I just don't know if Travis wants to play that long. I don't even know if I'd recommend it, especially if he wins a couple more Super Bowl rings and he can walk away with a nice bank account and a good family. It's like, hey, walk away with your head high after year 12, and with a couple rings on your, on your hand, make 2 or 3 rings, and I think you can call it a career. But if he wants to, he could go after it for sure.
Tony, no, Tony, no, 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 trust me, no, 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 no. You are one of the few in this way. You are one of the very, very few that I always say, Tony, your skill outlasts your will. Most of us, we retire because our skill erode. And it's not that we want to retire. Our skill just left, not our will. There may be one hundredth of 1% where their skill outlasts the will, and that was you. You got your skill. Those last 5 years you're talking about, you were still the top tight end, one of the top tight ends in the league. Nobody gets to be that the last 5 years. Most people are getting kicked out of the league, not being begged to stay in the league. You see what I'm saying? Most of the time, they're getting kicked out of the league. That's the thing that always amazed me, man, that you were so physically gifted that your skill can outlast your will, man, and you were able to play the game as long as you played the game and at that level for so long. That's an incredible accomplishment. But I wish I had. I was sitting in the screening room one day with Zach Thomas, and Zach Thomas said to me, he said, "Mike, man, I just don't know if I could take it." He was on the end of his career, left Miami, came to Dallas. He said, "Man, I used to make $12 million a year and play 53 plays. Now I'm making about half that at 6 and playing about 25 plays." I was in that steam room. Tony, you know what I said to him? I said, "Hey, buddy, I hear you." I said, "But I think you're doing something wrong." He said, "What's that?" I said, "You're comparing your 6 and 25 plays to the 12 and 52 plays you had." I said, "You need to compare your 6 and 25 to my 0 and 0. Like, I got nothing, you know what I'm saying? I would do anything for that 6 and 25 plays, you know what I'm saying? So he started laughing. He said, "I never thought about it that way, but I get what you're saying." So, man, it's just been insane. Let me just ask this before I let you go, man. As we talk about it, you got the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Who comes out MVP this year? I know Patrick Mahomes has one already. Who do you see? And then give me an X factor in that game. I know you talk Sammy Watkins. Give me somebody else.
Okay, so, MVP, you know how it is. They're going to give it to a quarterback.
They're going to give it to a quarterback.
Even last year, I thought the running back probably should have got the MVP, but they gave it to Patrick, and they'll do that again if he wins. Yeah,
they'll do it again.
But the X factor, how about, well, let's go defense right here. I think someone who's had a decent year, but might be, he's underrated as far as a household name. Not many people know his name. Chris Jones, the defensive tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs. Watch his, if you go back and watch his tape from what he did against, what he did to the Buffalo Bills last week, he was a man child. I think he's the second best defensive tackle next to Aaron Donald. In the NFL, this guy is a game changer. He's a game record. Last year in the Super Bowl, he had that batted pass. He took over that game on defense. It helps Frank Clark come around the edge. It helps the secondary. He's going to be in Tom Brady's lap all day. If they can't block him, that this game will be over by the middle of the third quarter. It'll be over if they can't contain Chris Jones. Chris Jones is a beast.
He is a beast, man. Tony, you know, Tony, I love watching you guys, man. You get to play. You're talking about Chris Jones being a beast. What you do now, and I love it. I try to tell some of these guys, man, oh, I said, man, you be thankful that we get to be around the game. God has given us a soft landing in these jobs that we do, you know, coming on and being able to talk about football. You get to work with some great people, though, man. Michael Strahan over there, who I love to death. I remember him as a young dude coming in and watching me train, and he's getting the advice for talking about what does it take. And I was working out at night. I said, hey, man. He said, why you working out? I said, I got to do it at night. So when the lights are bright, everybody knows, you know. And he brings that story back up to me. And every time I watch, you know, because I guess I'm like a fan. I think about the moments I've had with people, you know. I love Terry. I love Howie. You great people, man. You get a chance to work with some great people, man. How much of a blessing is that in your post-football career?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing because, like you said, really people, the reason that they work so well together is because they genuinely like each other and are rooting for each other. And that's such a great environment. It's like a great team. It's like a great football team. When you enjoy coming to work with with people that are the best or some of the best at what they do, it's a dream. Like you said, it's a dream. I pinch myself that I get to go to work with these guys and just watch how they create and how they get along. I've been lucky. I've been absolutely lucky and then obviously Jimmy Johnson, you know, coach. So
yeah, man.
You can add him to the mix too. Just some really fun, loving people that are, you know, that have accepted me to be part of the tribe. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I didn't have to mention Jimmy, you know I love Jimmy. Jimmy, that's my main dude right there. I love him to death, man. Tony, thanks for taking the time and giving us a minute, man. Well, I appreciate you just calling me right back and sitting on with me. And I want to tell you thank you. You and Dion, when I'm on that commercial with you two pristine you dudes, y'all clean me up. You know, here's the great Tony. This dude has done everything the right way. Here's Dion. Here's great. And then there's me, the odd man right there. But I appreciate you guys cleaning it up for me. Clean me up. And then, of course, we have Terry, man. I appreciate you, man. You're my boy, man. You're my dude, man. I love you. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And tell everybody over there on Fox, they're my dudes too, man. Thanks, T.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
All right, buddy. I'd like to thank my man, tight end Tony Gonzalez, man. What a great man and football player this dude has been. But speaking of great men and great tight ends, football players, just as we were finishing up with Tony Gonzalez, news came across the wire that Jason Witten has announced his retirement from the NFL. Jason Witten walks away with 1,228 receptions, 13,046 yards, 74 touchdowns. He played in an NFL record for a tight end, 271 games. Jason Witten, when he broke my record here in Dallas for receptions, I remember sending him a text and saying, this is apropos. You know, I wasn't a greatest talent, fastest guy, any of that stuff, but I was the hardest worker. And ultimately, the records I set here that got broken by Jason Witten was apropos, because that's how I got him. Jason Witten wasn't the most talented, wasn't the fastest guy, but he was one of the hardest workers. And he kept his feet to the ground and kept putting in that work and putting in that work. So congratulations to Jason Witten on a Hall of Fame career, my brother. Tony and I and the rest of the crew, we will see you in Ken in 5 years. I thank you for your great dedication to our sport, the love you have for the sport, and the way you serviced us all with how hard you worked and the way you played the game. We bid you farewell, my brother, and whatever that next endeavor may be, we bid you good luck moving forward. Let's get now from that guy that retired as a playmaker to my playmaker of the week. And I can go a lot of places with this. But I got caught in this groove. You know, I want to give some love to Shaq Barrett and tell him 3 sacks, 4 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 4 quarterback hits, pressures. That's a hell of a game. That's a hell of a game, buddy. Shaq Barrett, that's a hell of a game. I'm just saying, in order to win the next one, you're going to have to double all of those numbers to beat Patrick Mahomes. But I ain't taking away from what you did last week. I'm just giving you, use this as a stepping stone. This, that's a great game right here as your ceiling. If you got any chance in the Super Bowl, it's got to be your floor. That's got to be your floor. You got to go up from there. But I want to hold true to this, because last week seemed to me, or this week, all tight ends week. We talked about it. We talked with my man Tony Gonzalez. We talked about Travis Kelce. As we were doing all of that, Jason Witten retires, and now we got to come back to naming the playmaker of the week. He is that badass tight end from Kansas City. Dude, I got to give it to the man that broke my record. Travis Kelce had 13 receptions, 118 yards, and 2 TDs in the AFC Championship game. I had 2 TDs in my championship game, so that wasn't it. I had 198 yards. So that wasn't it. But I did it in 12 receptions. He got in 13. The whole while, I just kept sitting there, I said, don't let him catch that ball. But once he caught it, I said, okay, records are meant to be broken. And I am to congratulate him, because I love the dude, man. I love him to death, man. He was always great to my kids, my son who plays tight end. He took his time. And those are the things that ultimately matters when it comes down to it. Just like Tony Gonzalez, just like Jason Witten, Travis Kelce, my playmaker of the week, falls in that line. I know he had a rough start, and a lot of people kind of questioned him personally, never professionally. He always worked hard. But I remember being in Kansas City, and some of the people that worked in Kansas City was questioning his maturity. And I told them then, I said, you guys, give him time. I said, give him time. The stuff that you think is bad right now is what's going to help you in that locker room become the team you need to be. And Travis Kelce has matured. And I always tell kids this, be careful. Don't grow so great in your profession without having some kind of equal growth in your person. And Travis Kelce, man, you've grown so great in your profession, but I'm most proud of how you've had equal growth in your person. I love you, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing, because you are the playmaker of the week. Next week is Super Bowl.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.